सुनाई देगी दाय चाय मेरे कृष्ण संबंध of reading some of the instructions that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave on chanting the holy names of Krishna. These are from his letters. They were compiled into several books. I'll read some of them. Any living being who does not worship Krishna inevitably becomes a mundane philosopher, a fruitive worker, or a materialist. This is why we must always call out to the Lord by chanting the Maha Mantra. Not just chanting mechanically, but we should call out to the Lord while chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. By loudly chanting a fixed number of names every single day, the contaminations gradually diminish. The dullness of material consciousness flees. Even those who are inimical to the worship of the Lord will desist from mocking devotees who chant in this way. What way? No? No, what? Chanting in what way? Calling out loudly. A fixed number of rounds every day. Offenseless chanting brings all perfections into the reach of the devotee. Materialistic people can do nothing to such a chanter. All auspiciousness comes from the regular chanting of a fixed number of holy names. It gives me great joy to know that you have understood this. Do not let up simply because various mundane thoughts disturb you while you are chanting the holy name. Such useless thoughts will gradually disappear as a result of chanting. So don't become agitated on account of them. You cannot get the result of chanting prematurely. When you have a great deal of attraction for the holy name, the allure of mundane thoughts will diminish. If we do not have great enthusiasm for chanting, how will we ever get rid of such thoughts? If we serve the holy name with our bodies, minds, and souls, then the name will reveal his most auspicious form to us. Another later. I am overjoyed to hear that your enthusiasm for chanting is increasing. As our contaminations are removed by the chanting, the Lord's form, qualities and pastimes will be revealed to us in the holy name. There is no point in making a separate effort to artificially remember the Lord's form, qualities and pastimes. The Lord and his name are one and the same. This will be understood clearly when all the coverings in our heart are removed. By chanting without offenses, you will personally realize that all perfections come from the holy name. Through chanting, the distinction that exists between the self and the gross and subtle body is gradually removed and one realizes one's own spiritual form. Once aware of the spiritual body, as one continues to chant, one sees the transcendental nature of the Lord's form. Only the holy name reveals the spiritual form of the living being and then causes him to be attracted to Krishna's form. Once only the holy name reveals the spiritual qualities of the living being and then causes him to be attracted to Krishna's qualities. Only the holy name reveals the spiritual activities of the living being and then causes him to be attracted to Krishna's pastimes. By service to the holy name, we do not only mean the chanting of the holy name, it also includes the other duties of the chanter. If we serve the holy name in body, mind, and soul, then the direction of that service spontaneously manifests like the sun in the clear sky of the chanter's heart. So how does one get all the activities, the other duties of the chanter? How does one get those to be service to the holy name? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that it is not just chanting. Of course it is chanting, because so many times he's saying to chant loudly, to chant offensively, to chant attentively, chant a fixed number. But how do the other duties become turned? The other things that we do become turned as service to the holy name. But how do they do? That means they're purposeful. They have a purpose to gradually get us to chant the holy name. But that's not what he said. How are they directly service?
Glorification of Krishna.
How are they also glorification of Krishna?
To see them in the way of spreading the holy
name. Yeah, well, that's the point. It's a matter of one's consciousness, because the rest of the things we do, as well as chanting the holy name, can be done for my own pleasure, so everyone will think I'm such a good chanter, so everyone will think, oh, what a great devotee. There can be unlimited motives. People chant Hare Krishna to make money. They're professional chanters. You probably won't make very much money if you do that in Perth, but in Bangladesh or places like that, there are groups, professional groups that go around. There's professional reciters of the Bhagavatam. So it's a matter of one's motivation. So the idea is to bring our motivation to the point of, this is my service to the holy names. To spread the holy names. Bennett's service to the holy names. Everything we do. So how to do everything we do in that mood, how to cleanse the heart? It takes chanting, it takes desire, it takes purification, it takes association, and it takes time, usually too. This same letter continues. What is the nature of the holy name? Eventually, all these understandings spontaneously appear in the heart of one who chants the holy name. The true nature of Harinam is revealed through listening to, reading, and studying the scriptures. So that which we understand about the holy name that makes it worthy to serve. It's natural to serve the holy name if one loves the holy name, and it's natural to love the holy name if one understands the qualities and sweetness of the holy name. So the Shastra reveals the truth about the holy name. It is unnecessary to write any further on this subject. All these things will be revealed to you through chanting. Next letter. If you wish, so I'll read this one, and you tell me what strikes you in this. It's quite a short one. If you wish to give up offenses while chanting, then just go on chanting constantly, and the offenses will stop. Srimad Mahaprabhu gave all his power to Rupa Goswami. So pray to Sri Rupa and his followers, and beg them to bestow Mahaprabhu's mercy upon you. You should especially pray to the personified name to make you worthy of serving him. Through the Lord's name, the Lord of the name, Nama Prabhu, will take up residence in your heart. This is one of my favorite places. Anyone remember something from that? Usually when we remember something, we remember the last thing. But it's easier to remember the last part of a sentence.
The first thing was, if you chanting offensively, go on chanting.
Yes.
To clear the
desire.
Yes. if you wish to give up all offenses or chanting, so first thing Radha is pointing out is wish, desire. Then, if you wish, then you do this. Then go on chanting constantly. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Because it's obvious that if we're always chanting, that we have no time to commit the offenses. We have no mind to commit the offenses. So we should be in the mood, if we can't chant all the time, which is obviously extremely difficult to attain, but we should aspire for that. We should desire that. And we should desire to make all our the things that we do service to the holy name. What else? What did he say? Mahaprabhu? Yes?
We should pray for Shrivatman's followers.
Yes. For what?
The mercy
and beg them. Not casually. Hey, could you bestow all your mercy on Mahaprabhu? I mean, come on. Especially, it's only another few minutes before I'm here. No, begging. Begging as if one's life depends upon it. And indeed, our spiritual life really does depend on it. Knock or beg. Please open. Please. I am begging. And anyone remember something else? There's another section to this one. Yes. For what? Yes. But not only chant, to make one worthy of serving the holy name. Because that's, we were just saying how to serve the holy name, but how difficult it is to serve the holy name. Because why is it difficult? Because we have huge false egos. So it's difficult to serve anything except the false ego. It's difficult to do anything without selfish motive. If there's no selfish motive, there's no reason to act. Or, one step higher than that, is duty. And that's, the Bhagavad Gita speaks a lot about that. It's better to do your duty for selfish reasons than to not do it at all, but better to do one's duty detached from the results. So Krishna explains this point also in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And then he says, you actually shouldn't be attached to the results. Karma eva likharaste mapalesu vidatsana. Don't take the results, because if you take the results, you have to take them, all the results. And they're never what you're hoping for. You get entangled in fruitive activities. But rather, to dutifully do one's work and be detached from the results. That's called nishkam karma. But when one takes those results and offers them to Krishna, then it's bhakti yoga, or you could say karma yoga, nishkam karma yoga. And then, when one does it, what one does for the pleasure of Krishna, that's still a step higher. And then one is truly qualified. That is bhakti. So one should pray to the personified name. Who is the personified name? It's Krishna. He is his name. Abhinatam Namanamano. Oh Krishna, please make me in the form of your holy name, make me worthy of serving you. Through the Lord's name, the Lord of the name, Namaprabhu, will take up residence in your heart. Now that would solve a lot of problems, wouldn't it? If Krishna was actively had taken residence in the heart. When Mahaprabhu got all his devotees to cleanse the Gandisa temple, this was the idea. Why were they cleansing the Gandisha temple? Because Lord Jagannath was going to come there. So they wanted to make it a suitable place for the Lord to sit. So when we pray, very sincerely to make our heart a suitable place for the Lord to sit, that means there is no selfish motivation in the heart. There is no impurity. There are no anartas. There are no aparats. There is no vidya dholavam, weakness of heart. There is no asatrishna, taste or thirst for the temporary. Then the heart is considered clean, and then one will have a taste for the holy name. And then he will take up residence in the heart. Will someone take up residence in our most private, confidential room if it is not clean? Someone who is wonderful and pure? No. Or if we don't invite him, if we don't desire him to come, he has so many other places to stay. So we have to desire him also. So really, this is one of my favorite quotations. Listen to this one. You'll love this one. The Lord does not accept any offering given by someone who does not chant a lakh of Krishna's names every single day. Nice, yeah?
Who does that here?
Prabhupada made it easier for us. but yet, Mahaprabhu actually said this. He said, I won't go to someone's house unless they are Kropati. Everyone thinks, what? Mahaprabhu was saying? You see, a Kropati means a millionaire. That rich. And then he explained what he meant. That the riches that he was talking about was one lakh. Continue to increase my eternal ecstasy by taking the name offenselessly. So if one wants to know what to offer to one's spiritual master, to Prabhupada, to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to make them happy, to Mahaprabhu himself, this is a very good place to start. If one can take the name offenselessly, that means great advancement, and that is the pleasure of these exalted persons, our well-wishing heroes, our spiritual masters. Another letter. The service of Krishna, his devotees, and the chanting of his holy names. Which three things? The service of Krishna, the devotees, and the chanting of holy names. So it's the service of those three things. Krishna, the devotees, and the holy names. Though these three activities are distinct, they all have the same meaning. Through the congregational chanting of the Lord's names, one renders service to Krishna and to his devotees. Similarly, by serving the Vaishnavas, we also render service to Krishna and to his name. And by serving Krishna, we also engage in chanting the holy name and serving the Vaishnava. So they're interchangeable. One shouldn't think, oh, I'm just chanting the holy names, I won't serve Krishna or the Vaishnavas. Naturally, one has to do all. One leads to the other. Serving Krishna means chanting Krishna's name, serving Krishna's holy names, and serving Krishna's devotees. The evidence is in the verse Satram Vasudam Vasudeva Sabditam. The state of pure goodness is named Vasudev. When we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're engaging in the service of Krishna at the same time engaging in chanting the holy name. The same result also comes from reading the Bhagavat and the association of devotees. Even in the performance of deity worship, the three most important activities are taking place, what to speak of when engaged in Nambhaja. The Lord and his name are one and the same entity. For those who continue to make the distinction between the Lord and his name, it is absolutely necessary to associate with and serve those devotees who are expert in bhajan. For only in this way will the contamination be removed from their hearts. When one becomes expert in bhajan, then it is his obligation to do good for others. Bhajan is not something that is done for show. It is not a public matter. If we chant the holy names loudly, then the temptation of sloth will not be able to swallow us up. What does sloth mean? Laziness. Tamaguni laziness. So what is the cure that he's saying?
Chant loudly.
Make an effort to increase the number of rounds you chant until you reach 64. If you subsequently decrease your number below that, you are considered fallen. So take care to chant without fail. Remain in this place and chant the holy name in a regular fashion. Read the Chaitanya Bhagavad and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu is particularly merciful to those who are humble in mind and who consider themselves incapable. I pray to Mahaprabhu that your enthusiasm for serving the Lord should increase and that you become recognized in society. May he make you truly superior, a truly superior human being, and keep you fixed in bhajan. I will be happy when I learn that you are chanting the holy name without any disturbance by the mercy of the Lord. The Lord and his name are one and the same entity. Chanting the holy name and having a direct vision of the Supreme Lord may appear to be two different things, but in actuality they are one. Liberated souls consider the holy name to be their object of worship. Study holy literature like Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Narottama Das Thakur's Prarthana and Prem Bhakti Chandrika, and Bhaktivinod Thakur's Kalyana Kalpa Taru. You should know that the true fruit of meditation and deity worship is the chanting of Krishna's name. All auspiciousness comes to the living being as he chants. The Lord in the form of his name is not different from the Lord of the name. Study the Chaitanya Charitamrita closely. Narottama Das Thakur has written, I have died without worshipping Gaura. I have spent my life in striving for things without any value and made no effort to attain that which is truly valuable. Chant the holy name and pray in the way that Narottama did. No distress born of contact with the sense objects will be able to touch you. How did Narottama pray? I have died without worshipping Gaura. I have spent my life in striving for things without any value and made no effort to attain the true valuable, truly valuable. Dhaniya Shunya Bishakainu. So there has to be some, when one examines one's consciousness, there should be some lamentation. And then from the lamentation, prayer should be born. Prayer to have shelter and get mercy. Even if you have little taste for it, if you continue to chant the holy names with respect, then you will be able to learn that both Mahaprabhu and Krishna are not different from their names. Before everything else, worship the spiritual master, then Gaura, and then Krishna. Chant the holy names according to a fixed number. Gaura Hari and Radha Krishna are the same entity. One should not make any distinction between them. Gaura is Krishna. As you get to know them, as you realize this, you will receive their blessing. Nothing can compare with the mercy of Lord Gaura Sunda. There is no limit to the sweetness of Lord Krishna Chandra. Do not be preoccupied with the end result of chanting. Rather, chant Krishna's names constantly with patience and forbearance. The Lord will surely not sit silently and do nothing. Gaura Hari will certainly reward every practitioner according to the nature of his practice. Service to the Lord is called bhakti. You can also know that uttering the name of the Lord is devotion. As you run your hands over the japa mala, think that you are touching Lord Gaura Sunda's lotus feet. That is the way you should chant. The living entities who render service to Hari, the Guru and the Vaishnavas, will be released from repeated birth and death. Those who do not will be swallowed up by material life. Chant the holy name with faith constantly. Study the Upadeshamrita and Chaitanya Charitamrita and try to understand their deep inner meaning. The Lord is supremely merciful. One day or another, He will surely give you His blessings. Chant the holy name without interruption. Read devotional literature offenselessly. May people feel pleased at seeing your exemplary life. We will not stop serving Krishna because a certain devotee has fallen into the hands of wicked people. I hope that you are able to pass the test given you by the wicked and continue to chant the names fearlessly. Even if you do not have firm faith, continue chanting constantly with great care. Pray to the holy name as you chant. Then the holy name will bless you. Always be detached and chant the holy names without offenses. Always study holy literatures like Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prarthana and Prem Bhakti Chandrika and Kalyana Kalpataru. If you do so, all auspiciousness will come. If you chant Krishna's names, all bad association will disappear like the morning mist. Bad association means the Mayavadis and fruitive workers, those who believe that they can achieve liberation through the power of intellect, and those who have multifarious desires. It seems that with every passing day, more and more Mayavadis are identifying themselves as Vaishnavas. It used to be thought that only the immoral and the foolish lower classes would claim to be Vaishnavas, but now it seems that every last Mayavadi boasts of being one. If we follow the order of Supdamada Goswami, we will drive these Mayavadis away and chant Harinam free from such bad association. Then Gaura Hari will give us his blessings. Stay at home and chant always. That way all auspiciousness will come to you. Remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words, I cannot find the strength in myself alone. Eka kiyamai nahi pai bolo harinama sankirtane. I always remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words, I cannot find the strength in myself alone, and work cooperatively to complete the sacrifice to the holy name in the way that I desire. Those who have responsibility for the performance of this sacrifice must cultivate the virtue of making friendship with everyone, that is, of winning the hearts and minds of all the Vaishnavas and engaging them in the service of the Lord. Where there is Harikatha, discussion of Lord Hari, such a place is holy, a tirtha. On the other hand, a place of pilgrimage where the holy names are not sung may be an amusing sight to take holiday, but it is not useful in advancing in one's service. In the talk about Krishna, we come to that material sense gratification is the most relishable thing, and so we desire it. Rupa Goswami wrote, Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Sitapya Vidya Pito Patapta Rasanasya Tarochikanu Kintu Vadaran Anudinam Kalasai Vajushto Svadvi Kramad Bhavatitad Garamu Lahantri. Krishna's names and pastimes may well be sweet to the taste, but our tongues are filled with the bile of ignorance, and so they do not seem desirable to us. If we diligently engage ourselves in serving them respectfully, day in and day out, then gradually they will become sweet to the taste, for they will cure the disease of ignorance at its foundations. We take pleasure in sense objects, but the most perfect object of the senses are the Lord's glories, glorious lotus feet. We have forgotten this beauty and are ready to serve almost anything except Krishna. This search for objects other than Krishna is the root of our disease. As long as we have this disease, even the faintest contact with the Lord's name, form, qualities, associates, or pastimes provokes a negative reaction. We feel them to be bitter and unpleasant. But just as a jaundiced person is prescribed sugar candy to help him cure him of his disease, the names and pastimes of the Lord are the cure for the disease of indifference to him. Then the sweetness of Krishna's name will manifest itself and will engage our spiritual senses in the service of the supreme object of divine love. Please bless me that one day I may give up my attachment to the sense objects and dwell in Vrindavan. Vishaya charya ami kabe jabe Vrindavana. What song shall we sing? This one by Bhaktivinod Thakur is particularly suitable. This is from Kalyana Kalpataru. A wise person never says, this is obviously the English translation. A wise person never says, I shall chant the holy name at the end of my life. At present, let me enjoy my life as a householder. He knows that the body is always on the brink of death. Death will come, brother, whether today or in 100 years. So do not be apathetic. Worship Krishna as soon as you can, for life is not a certainty. There is no need to hope that you can go and live in Vrindavan while maintaining your household life and taking care to repay the 3 debts to the saints, the gods, and the ancestors. If you keep trying to play both sides of the fence, then death will come, and you will not have served the feet of the Lord, the friend of the poor. That's heavy. Playing both sides of the fence. If you want your ultimate good, then always sing the names of Krishna. It is not necessary to argue about whether you should remain in the home or renounce it. From Kalyana Kalpataru. That is a song that's not going to make the top 10 in this world. But it makes the top 10 in that world, on the other side. What else should we sing, he says, in a similar mood. This flickering life is like a stream that flows into the ocean of time. Once a day is gone, it will never come back. So, Krishna, what should I do now? You are the friend of the fallen. I recognize you as my Lord, for you are the ocean of compassion. I am most unfortunate and lacking in wisdom. I haven't got the slightest bit of devotion. O Lord, claim me as your own, and out of the goodness of your heart, deliver me from the miseries of material life. Give me my spiritual body in the midst of Vrindavan. Bestow the nectar of service upon me. Give me the nectar of love and intoxicate me. Listen to me as I sing your glories. Engage me in the service of the divine couple in the Rasamandala. Bhaktivinod, the most unworthy servant of Lalita Sakhi, holds tight to your lotus feet. Another letter. We beg everyone for their blessings that in the spirit of Gaurasunda's teachings, to be more humble than the straw, more tolerant than the tree, respectful to all and asking no respect for ourselves, in that spirit we may follow his method of chanting the holy name. We also pray that we may hold the shoes of those who chant in this way on our foreheads out of respect, and so be empowered to purify the world of all the distasteful refuse of temporary and useless things that have been foisted on it by the sense enjoyers, the karmis, the gyanis, and the others who lack discrimination, who torture our eyes and render useless our ability to see. No one should reduce his service to the Lord even until his last breath. The only real necessity in this human form of life which can produce the only true value is Hari Kirtan. Leading a life of lethargy in the name of worshipping in solitude is one type of deception. Meaningless poverty in the name of renunciation is another. These are unnecessary as they obstruct Hari Kirtan. Hold off living in a secluded cottage for many lifetimes, for for your mind will lead you to engage in subtle or hidden sense gratification. I advise you to rather begin by engaging your every act in the service of Krishna. We should adopt the kind of renunciation taught in Narottama's Prarthana and Prem Bhakti Chandrika. In other words, one that is not just for show. Narottama prays, Sadarasa Bhojana Dure Parihari Kave Braja Magya Kaive Madhukari. When will I completely renounce enjoying the six kinds of tastes and simply live on baked food in Vrindavan? With this mental attitude, we should attempt to spread the glories of the spiritual master in Mahaprabhu, and in this way we will win Mahaprabhu's blessings and be able to truly worship the Lord's name. With this attitude, it is possible to even ride through North Gopalapuram in the Madras Gaudiya Math limousine, dressed as a sannyasi, without being an impostor or a hypocrite. There is no need to follow the example of some person who falsely dresses as a Babaji and makes a show of renunciation while engaging in sense gratification. Renunciation is a matter of the heart. There is a big difference between those who misuse the trappings of renunciation and those who follow in the footsteps of King Janaka or Ramananda Roy. But internal renunciation or balanced renunciation, Yukta Vairagya, does not mean becoming a Ravana while externally imitating King Janaka or Ramananda Roy or misusing their example. You may act as, may make an artificial show of renunciation in this way, but never expect it to produce any positive results. Every one of the senses is engaged in protecting the body as a whole. And if they are reluctant to do so, the entire body is to some extent adversely affected. In the same way, every individual must serve the society as a whole. Otherwise, it will experience some degree of loss. In view of this, all those who seek the good of human society have a duty to engage in simultaneously serving the Vaishnavas, showing compassion to the living beings, and chanting the holy name. Anything that is favorable to this principle should be accepted, and whatever goes against it must be rejected. Simultaneously serving the Vaishnavas, showing compassion to the living beings, and chanting the holy names. Serve the devotees, the fallen souls, and one's own spiritual development by chanting. The holy name of the Lord and the Lord Himself are not two separate things, but they are one. When the sound of the holy name passes through the lips, the conditioned sense of hearing and consciousness start to process the sound as though it was a material sound, and that is the way it is indeed perceived. As a result, only the external ear hears it. The other senses and the mind, which is the collector of sensory experience, are envious of the ear, which they consider to be an equal partner. The result is that such chanting does not result in the cleansing of contaminations or anarthas. We do not even have the capacity to know intellectually that the name of the Lord of the name are one. But just as one of the Vedic sacraments, sanskaras, for the young child is to have the ear pierced, when our spiritual ear has been pierced by the holy name, the other senses give up their enviousness of the sense of hearing. They no longer quibble with the ear, which alone can perceive the transcendental sound. Then the flood of prema pours forth from all of the spiritual senses and cleans away the contamination of opposition and enviousness. With that, the Lord of the name's beautiful form, qualities, associates, and pastimes are revealed in the name itself, and are experienced by the chanter as something quite distinct from his previous experiences within the material world. The kind of worries and distractions of the mind typical of the conditioned soul cannot remain. We should constantly pray to the holy name for his mercy. One who is still in a contaminated state should not engage in smarana, remembering, remembrance of the daily cycle of the Lord's pastimes, Astakaliya Lila. When we engage in chanting the holy name, we are simultaneously engaged in hearing, and the opportunity for remembering is included in that. One should not engage in such meditation on false premises. Near the time here's just one last thing is the before Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world, perhaps a week before, he gave some instructions to his disciples. So it has been useful for everyone. So read them. They're listed here as 10 instructions. All of you, please preach the message of Rupa and Raghunath with great enthusiasm. The ultimate object of our desires is to become specks of dust at the lotus feet of the followers of Rupa Goswami. 2. All of you remain united in submission to the Lord's form as the repository of devotion, the Ashraya Vigraha. Seeking to satisfy the transcendental senses of the one non-dual supreme consciousness, make your way through this impermanent transitory life in whatever way you can, keeping the goal of worshipping the Lord foremost in your minds. Don't abandon this goal, even in the face of hundreds of dangers, hundreds of insults or persecutions. Don't lose your spirit if you see that the majority of people cannot accept the principle of selfless service to the Supreme Lord. Never abandon your bhajan, hearing and chanting Krishna Katha, the be-all and end-all of your devotional life. Please always chant the name of the Lord, being humbler than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree. 4. Our true being and identity is to be the dust at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Prabhu, life after life. The channel that flows from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur can never be obstructed. Remember this and vow to double your efforts to fulfill Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's desire. Amongst you are many capable and worthy individuals. We seek nothing for ourselves. Our only motto is Adanas Trinam Danter Idam Yashe Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhuja Duli Syam Janma Janmani. Taking grass between my teeth, I pray repeatedly that I may become a speck of dust at Sri Rupa Goswami's lotus feet, birth after birth. That's from Raghunath Das Goswami's Mukta Charita. 5. In the material world, we continuously come into contact with difficulties. There is no need for us to be bewildered by these difficulties, nor should it be our objective to remove them. Rather, we should think of what will be left to be attained after all these obstacles are removed. We must learn about our eternal life when we are still in this world. Our only real obligation is to go beyond duality and to enter that realm of eternal fulfillment. 6. In this world, no person should be a special object of attraction or aversion. All arrangements we make here last only for moments. Our only unavoidable necessity is to seek out the ultimate goal of life. 7. Work together with a single purpose, to win the qualification to serve the original repository of love for Krishna, Srimati Radharani. 8. May the current of the ideas propagated by Rupa Goswami flow throughout the world. 9. May we never, under any circumstances, become indifferent to the seven-tongued sacrificial flame of the holy name. If our attraction to the holy name continually increases, you will achieve all perfection. The seven tongue means the seven perfections that Mahaprabhu mentions in the first verse of Shiksha. That's the seven tongue, holy name. We should never become indifferent to chanting Krishna's holy name. 10, the final one. Remain exclusively faithful to the followers of Rupa Goswami and preach Rupa and Raghunath's teachings enthusiastically and fearlessly. Powerful, eh? The Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the Swami Maharaj, and Prabhupada Kidai. Jesus, Prabhupada Kidai. Questions, comments? Anyone like to say something about the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur?
I would like to mention that Prabhupada was very personality who fulfilled this prophecy in Skanda Purana, where it said that the Kalinga. It's an argument of the year who would unite all the four Sampradayas. And that was done in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
He desired to, but so far it's not quite united. He had that inspiration, certainly. This is when he was young.
All the disciples of Krishna saw that will do few Vaishnavas. One Vaishnava was afflicted as well as diseased, and that was more than 10 years before Vatsyana Saraswati took sannyas actually. And in a dream, he saw Vatsyana Saraswati coming to him and giving him Hare Krishna mantra. And after that dream, he was relieved from the disease. And then he was trying to find this personality. And then, only in 19, more than 10 years later, he found him in 1990. He went actually. And Vatsyana Saraswati recognized him to be the person in that dream.
And he took the vow to chant 1 billion names of Krishna. That's, Prabhupada had said that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did great austerities before starting the Hare Krishna movement to prepare him to do that. He would chant, and in the rainy season, he would be living in a hut, and it would be raining. And the hut would be leaking, and he would sit up on the, it would be flooding, and he'd sit up on the rafters with an umbrella and just chant. Fairly long. Maybe you could sing a few of them. Okay? I think Prabhupada at one time actually said that we should chant that. I can't remember.
And then there was one more interesting fact. Because it's not so that he was so great and learned. He found somewhere the proof of Vedic procedure for the Vyasa Puja ceremony, and then it was edited according to the Gaudiya original theology, and it describes seven panchaks in seven group of five personalities which has to be have been worshipped in the Vyasa Puja meeting. And then that's an extremely elaborate ritual on the time is Sanaka Kumara Panchad and Vyasa Dev and his four principal disciples, Krishna Panchad and Panchadatra Panchad.
What does Panchad mean?
Panchad means five personalities.
Because it's a little late already. Maybe we can just chant it, a few of them. Or hear it, probably more practical, and then do